Can you hear me? There you go. There you go. Of all the many microphones here, I grabbed the dead one. So such is the case. But we want to welcome you. Good morning, Mallory Church of God. Got a lot of people on vacation, we know, this week, traveling and all those things. Talked to several of them. Some of them messaged, some of them texted and talked to them during vacation Bible school. We had a wonderful vacation Bible school, didn't we? Praise God for that. Luke walked in this morning and was a little upset because it don't look like vacation Bible school no more here at the church. You know, he likes all the decorations and stuff like that. He really, really enjoyed it. Lucy did too, our grandbaby. So. But most important thing is, Pearl, that the kids learned about Jesus. And we cannot overemphasize how important that is in today's world, teaching them things that maybe our generation takes for granted. Because we were maybe shared, Cheryl, certain basic things. We had a understanding that not every child gets that nowadays. And but we thank God for everyone that was able to join us here at the church for VBS. I mean, we had between 150, 155 to 180 people every night. And it was just wonderful. The kids and everything, I think, had a good time and learned about Jesus. That was the most important thing. But this morning we got a special person going to share something the Lord put on her heart, share a message with us this morning. That's Mrs. Nicole Van Elst. Thank you. And so she's got something she's going to share with us that God's put on her heart. She's going to be leading Sunday school this morning. I'm only here to kind of chime in here and there, if you will. But if you got any questions, we want you to feel free to raise your hand, you know, and get involved in all those things. And if you're on vacation and listening to us on the live stream, we want to welcome you as well. So at this time, Ms. Nicole.
I had been praying and seeking God for this word. He started giving me this last summer, and I didn't realize it then. You know, I was like, God, why are you giving me this? Why are you talking to me like this? Because it was like a sermon to me. We don't do this. We don't talk in front of people. I'll do whatever in the background. But this is the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. And last summer, He just kept giving me this. I just kept hearing the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. And this time last year, I had to move in with my grandpa to take care of him full time because he had dementia. And that was kind of the final stretch of my wilderness because we had been in it for years. But Isaiah 40 and verse 3 says, "The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Then we're going to skip forward to Matthew 3, verse 3. For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, "The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Have you ever felt like you were in a season where nothing made sense anymore? What used to work no longer works. People you depended on are no longer there. For me, that was my dad. My dad wasn't there anymore. I had to do this by myself, and that sucked. Doors have closed. God feels quiet. You feel isolated, confused, and stuck. And if so, you may be in your wilderness season. But the good news is that God does some of his greatest work in the wilderness. Joseph received a dream before the palace. David was anointed king and then left to work the field. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness before he led a nation. Joshua stood before a flooded Jordan before entering into his inheritance. And Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness before his public ministry. The first thing to know about the wilderness is that it's not a place of abandonment. Some of us feel like when we've entered the wilderness that God has left us. But Scripture teaches us the opposite. The wilderness is where God draws us closer. Hosea 2:14 says, "Therefore, behold, I will allure her, bring her into the wilderness, and speak kindly to her." Notice that God didn't bring his people into the wilderness to destroy them. He brought them there to speak to them. God will meet you in your wilderness. The wilderness may feel empty, but it is often the place where God's voice becomes the clearest. The second thing to know about the wilderness is that the wilderness is where your old identity will stop working. One of the most frustrating parts of the wilderness season is realizing that what used to work will no longer work. Your old coping mechanisms fail. Your old relationships can't carry you. Your old habits no longer satisfy. Why? Because God is transitioning you. The wilderness is the place where our old identity stops working. God is preparing you for what he's called you to become. You cannot walk into your promised land and carry an identity that belongs in Egypt. Israel's mistake was that they operated as slaves in the wilderness. When God delivered Israel from Egypt, he removed them from slavery. But the problem was that slavery was inside of them. Even after experiencing miracles, they constantly wanted to go back. Exodus 16 and 3 says, "And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us to this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." They complained, they feared, they doubted, and they longed for Egypt. Their bodies were free, but their minds were still in bondage. Many of us do the same thing. When the wilderness season comes, we operate like Israel, fear instead of faith, complaining instead of trusting, and looking back instead of forward. God was not simply trying to get Israel out of Egypt. He was trying to get the Egypt out of Israel. Sometimes we can confuse our wilderness with warfare. The wilderness season is a season of processing. It is not a season of fighting. When you mistake the wilderness for warfare, you waste your energy fighting a battle against enemies that aren't there instead of allowing God to do the internal work that the wilderness was designed for. Exodus 13, verses 17 through 18 says, "God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, for that was shorter, for God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around the desert road." When the Israelites left Egypt, God intentionally routed them away from a direct path because it would have forced them into an immediate war with the Philistines. They weren't ready for warfare. They didn't have the stomach or the training for it. Instead, God took them to the wilderness. The wilderness was not an attack from the enemy. It was training ground designed by God. Like the Israelites, we often look at the barrenness, the dryness, and isolation of a wilderness season and say, "I'm under spiritual attack." But you cannot fight your way out of a season that God brought you into for your own development. Don't be too busy dodging arrows of fire to realize that you have already been baptized in it. Psalms 18:34 said, "He trains my hands for warfare so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze." There is a profound divine sequence to how God develops his people. He never sends you straight from the comfort of home onto the battlefield of your destiny. First, he'll take you into the wilderness. Worth it.
Thank you.
requires you to stand firm, fight, and resist the enemy trying to take what is yours. The wilderness requires you to surrender, listen, and let go of what's holding you back. Jesus taught us how to go through the wilderness. So we're at the Jordan River. The crowd has gathered to see John. John was a prophet who lived in the wilderness. In clothing woven from camel hair, a leather belt, he lived on a diet of locusts and wild honey. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, God's word says that ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. John was a little bit weird, and it's okay. The world's going to think you're weird. The world's going to think you're weird. The people are gathered to see John. You know, everybody's coming to look at him, and they walk right past Jesus. Can you imagine pushing past the one who walks on water to see the one who baptizes in it? Jesus was first affirmed by John and then by God. God recognized him publicly, and then he let them know, this is my son. And then he led Jesus into the wilderness. Matthew 4, verse 1 says, then Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Notice that Jesus wasn't driven into the wilderness because he failed. He was led there by the Spirit. Before Jesus entered the wilderness, the scripture tells us in Matthew 3:17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus entered the wilderness knowing who he was. Israel operated as slaves. Jesus operated as a son. The enemy repeatedly challenged his identity. We see him in Matthew chapter 4 stating, if thou be the Son of God. But Jesus never questioned who he was. We as believers will enter the wilderness and forget who we are. The wilderness is not the place to discover what the enemy says about you. It is the place to remember what God says about you. As the sons and daughters of God, we are called to respond like Jesus, with confidence, with obedience, with the word of God, and with trust in our Father. The wilderness was not designed to take you out. It was designed to reveal you. Many people view the wilderness as attacks. Sometimes they are actually opportunities. The wilderness reveals what is in us. It reveals our fears, our idols, our trust issues, our hidden wounds, and our faith. God already knows what's in us. The wilderness reveals it to us. What comes out of you under pressure often reveals what still needs healing. The wilderness is not designed to take you out. It's used to reveal you. The wilderness is not your punishment. It's your preparation. We want the oil, but not the crushing that comes with it. Gold can only be refined by fire. The vessel cannot carry oil until the olive has been crushed. And God's favor does not exempt us from famines. You can't handle the power if you can't handle the pain. God uses the wilderness to cut away every competing voice. Our lives are full of noise, social media, opinions, entertainment, success, relationships, politics, and fear. God will lovingly remove that noise. Why? Because there are voices that we have trusted more than His. In the wilderness, God will cut away every idol, every distraction, every false source of security, and every voice that competes with His. When the noise fades, His voice becomes clearer. The wilderness feels lonely because God is removing things that have occupied the space that was meant for Him. The Hebrew word for wilderness is midbar, and it is derived from the root word beled betresh. That means to speak. The wilderness is not merely a barren place, but a space where communication, particularly divine communication, occurs. Biblical examples of some wilderness seasons. Moses, the wilderness of preparation. Before Moses led Israel, he spent 40 years in Midian. 40 years. It would seem like a setback, but in reality, God was preparing a deliverer. The wilderness transformed Moses from a self-confident prince into a humble servant. Joseph, he went through the wilderness of provision. The wilderness rarely feels like a place of progress. For Joseph, it was a sudden, violent interruption to his life. One moment, he was his father's favored son, wearing a coat of many colors. The next, he was stripped of his identity and trapped in the bottom of a dark, dry cistern, listening to his own brothers plotting his fate above. We often view our wilderness seasons, periods of unexpected isolation, rejection, or broken dreams, as evidence that God has forgotten us. But in the economy of God, the pit is never punishment, it's preparation. Joseph could not see the throne of Egypt from the bottom of the pit. He didn't know that his betrayal would eventually save nations from starvation, in the same way that you can't see the full picture of what God is building in your life right now. The wilderness strips away our self-reliance so that we can learn a deeper level of trust. God does not use the wilderness to destroy you. He uses it to develop the character required for your calling. Jacob went through a wilderness of transformation. Jacob spent years running, wrestling, and wandering. At Peniel, he wrestled with God the whole night, and his hip was out of joint. Peniel translates to the face of God and symbolizes a transformative, intimate encounter with God. Jacob entered the fight as Jacob, but he left as Israel. The wilderness changed his identity. Sometimes God must break who we were before so that He can reveal who we are. John the Baptist, he was the voice crying in the wilderness. John's message wasn't born in a palace. It was born in the wilderness. God often develops powerful voices in lonely places. John prepared the way for Jesus because he first learned to hear God in the wilderness. your wilderness is preparing your voice. Jesus went through the wilderness of testing. Jesus faced temptation, opposition, and spiritual warfare, and yet he emerged in the power of the Spirit. The wilderness did not weaken him, it revealed him. The wilderness is God's transition to your promised land. Israel viewed the wilderness as a destination. God viewed it as a pathway. The wilderness was never meant to be their permanent home, and neither is yours. The wilderness is a transition season that God uses to build faith, develop character, remove idols, establish identity, and prepare you for your promise. What feels like delay is actually preparation. The wilderness is not punishment, it's freedom. It's only human for us to think that God must be punishing me, but often God is liberating you. The wilderness feels lonely because chains are falling off. God is breaking off fear, pride, dependence on people, false identities, generational strongholds, and hidden bondages. Some chains are so familiar that we don't even recognize that we're wearing them. What feels like loss is freedom in disguise. The voice in the wilderness. One of the greatest purposes of the wilderness is this. God begins speaking to you about who you are. The world tells you that what you do defines you, and God says who you are in Christ defines you. The wilderness strips away titles. It strips away accomplishments. It strips away appearances, until all that remains is what God says about you. Just as the Father declared over Jesus, "This is my beloved Son," God wants his sons and daughters to hear his voice over every other voice. So if you're in your wilderness season today, remember that God has not abandoned you. God will meet you there. The wilderness is where your old identity stops working. The wilderness is not punishment, it's freedom. Do not confuse wilderness for warfare. The wilderness was not designed to take you out, but to reveal you. God is cutting away every competing voice and idol. Do not think like a slave, but step into your authority as a son or a daughter of the Most High. Walk like Jesus, and the wilderness is preparation for your promised land. What feels like a barren place today may actually be where God is preparing you to enter one of the greatest seasons of your life. The wilderness is not your destination, the warfare is not your identity, and delay is not your final chapter.